It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life with your host, Alan Gervie. Alan is the managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening. I am Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, and this is Gervie's Law. First of all, I want to wish everyone a happy Easter and a happy Passover. Hope you are enjoying this holiday weekend. And I want to get right to our first two guests. Such important issues to talk about, both of them in their own right. First of all, Gloria Allred is probably the most famous woman attorney in the world. She's a victim's rights attorney, stands up for what is right, an advocate for those whose rights have been violated, and she is the founding partner of Allred, Morocco, and Goldberg. And we are pleased to have with us and honored to have one of her clients on the line with us, Veronica Didyusenko. Veronica was Miss Ukraine in 2018, and then she was stripped of her title and banned from competing in Miss World because she was married and had a child, which makes no sense to me whatsoever. And she grew up in Kyiv and recently on February 24th was able to escape the atrocities and the horrendous war going on in Ukraine. Her mother and grandmother, I believe, are still there. She's been a model for many years, grew up as a ballroom dancer, straight A student, and she has a son she's very proud of, Alex. Gloria and Veronica, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Oh, thank you so much for having us, Alan. And Veronica, welcome back to Los Angeles. You just arrived this afternoon.
Hi. Hello, everyone. Thank you for the introduction. Good to hear everyone.
It's great to have you, Veronica. And Gloria mentions that you just arrived. I wasn't sure where you were because I know it's been a real whirlwind over the last couple months. Maybe, Gloria, you could start off by explaining your involvement with Veronica and how you have assisted in this really important story.
Yes, I would love to, Alan. And Veronica had contacted me before the war in Ukraine. And yes, President Putin, it's not a special military operation. It's a war against Ukraine that you're waging. But she had contacted me prior to February, and we got together at my office, and we were going to work on the issue of beauty pageants like Miss World and Miss Universe requiring that a woman, in order to be eligible to compete, would, among other eligibility requirements, have to state that she'd never been pregnant and never had a child, which I thought was unlawful, at least in California.
Right.
And we were going to work on that. And then she went back to Ukraine and the war started. And she said, well, I'm coming back. She fled Ukraine. She went through four different countries to escape the war, to protect her son, her little 9-year-old son that she was able, fortunately, to get out during the war. And she said, I'm coming back to Los Angeles. I'm going to do what we said we were going to do, Gloria. And then we did. So with all of that, let me just give it an opportunity, if you don't mind, Alan.
Sure.
Thank you for introducing her, to tell a little bit about what's happening in Ukraine. And then we can talk about the issue that she and I are working on together.
That'd be great. Veronica.
Thank you so much, Gloria, for sharing my story. So yeah, I was fleeing the war with my son when it was started on the 24th of February. And of course, at the moment, this is a very, very difficult situation, like in Ukraine, and there are many actions must be taken at the moment, like to help Ukraine. And I'm happy to speak with you, to many journalists in the United States, to share their real, like what's really happening there. So My mother, my father, my grandmother are still in Kiev. And, you know, I'm among like 5 million of people who are fleeing the war. At the moment, like the eastern territories are being under military pressure from Russian, and many cities are occupied by Russians. And so, you know, like among all of the issues which must be considered in Ukraine, like as humanitarian missions, investigation of, you know, all of the war crimes against Ukrainians in our country, like all of the like sanctions which are taking place right now in the Ukraine, and all of the military support which Ukraine is getting is very important at the moment. And I'm as Ukrainian must share this information, and I must mention it when I speak about my home, and when I see how people are suffering in our country.
Tell us a little bit about your plight and how you were able to escape with your son, and how much contact you've had with your family since then. Because I think a lot of people get real worried and concerned that, you know, families are being broken up, and it's really heart-wrenching to hear those stories.
Yeah, so I'm in touch with my parents like every minute I can do so. Every 3 minutes I'm in touch with them. Of course, they are in the situation when they must hide in shelters wherever a siren alarm is going on. So people live like exhausted. They cannot sleep a lot because they are being under military attacks and under missile attacks like all the time. Today is a 53rd day of Ukrainian resistance against Russian aggression. So it is very, very difficult situation. Like, and on the eastern territories of Ukraine, as Donbas, Kharkiv, Mykolaiv, all of these cities are right now like places where Russians accumulating their strengths and are ready to take it, and Ukrainians are showing heroic resistance. All of us saw just appalling war crimes which were made by Russian occupants in the cities near the Kyiv, near my it's literally like 30 kilometers from my home, like Bucha, Irpin, Hostomel. All of the horrible pictures where people were tortured, killed, murdered, women and children were raped. So all of these horrific horrific events took place in Kiev and in Ukraine, of course, near the Kiev and in Ukraine. So everyone is horrified and terrified by all of this. It's like genocide against the Ukrainian people, against Ukraine.
It must be just so disheartening to think that people haven't been able to do more. Other countries, dignitaries. When you talk about the United States, what would you expect of them? And tell us a little bit about how President Zelensky has been performing in such dire consequences and straits.
You know, recently, as Zelensky said, like one day of the amount of money which Russia gets in one day for the oil and gas which she sells to worldwide is like it's equals the amount of the whole help which Ukraine got from the Europe from the beginning of the war. So embargo for trading with Russia for oil, it is very, very important and must be implemented, as well as all of these sanctions against Russia are very, very important. Of course, you know, arms shipments are growing, but, you know, not fast enough. And at the moment, we need more modern weapons, offensive weapons, and much stronger weapons to protect our territories. You know, as President Zelensky said recently, freedom must be armed better than tyranny. So we really need that support from United States, from the European countries, as well as, you know, financial assistance, because the infrastructure of Ukraine is being destroyed and up to a third of the population is forced to leave their homes, and budget revenues are no longer enough to finance, you know, vital areas of life, as well as, you know, investigation of war crimes to the civilian population, as I mentioned, in Bucha, Irpin, Hostomel. It must be done. And of course, humanitarian missions and assistance of refugees in Europe and assistance to internally displaced people in Ukraine, food and medical support for the population in Ukraine who stayed in Ukraine and who are under missile attacks. All of these points are extremely important for Ukraine at the moment.
Gloria, how have you felt about, you know, you had this relationship with Veronica and then all of this comes into play. Do you feel kind of helpless? I mean, you've been so in touch with her and, you know, obviously a little more personal than most of us, because for those of us who don't have these connections, how frustrating is it for you?
Well, I always feel that being frustrated is a luxury I can't afford on any issue because it's useless.
Right.
But so action is required. So when Veronica flew back to keep her word to me that she would come back and do this discrimination issue, I said, you know what, let's do two press conferences. And the first one has to be about what's happening in the war in Ukraine, how you fled, and what Ukraine needs from us, how we can help in this, really, this war, which could lead to World War III, and is already, in a way, I mean, it's a devastating war to Putin's trying to just eliminate Ukraine from the face of the earth. So let's do that first, and then we'll do our discrimination issue. That's what we did. She's back now. We have a plan for the future, which I won't announce right now, but I will let you know more in June if you have me back, Alan.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'll let you know about that. But I know that Veronica is still a very strong supporter of women's rights. That hasn't changed with the war in Ukraine. Women in Ukraine are suffering. So many of them have left with children, but many of them are staying to fight too. We see stories about, you know, grandmothers staying and preparing their Molotov cocktails to throw at the Russians. I saw a grandmother hobbling out with a cane to see Russian soldiers, and she had some choice words for them, and she had some choice words which I won't repeat over the radio for about Putin. And sometimes when women get older, they're like, all bets are off. They're not going to be little polite people anymore. They're going to just speak truth to power. And she did it. And I'm like looking at the television going, you go. Wow. This is great. I'm so proud of you. So many of the women who stayed are doing a service and fighting and being brave. And even though they're in bomb shelters for a lot of the time, they're helping to support the brave soldiers. And in addition to that, the women, you know, the mothers who left with their children, like Veronica, they're finding ways to help even when they're outside of Ukraine. And there's Veronica thinking every day, how can not only of her parents and her grandparents, but also how can she get support around the world for Ukraine? Because Ukraine cannot be in this alone, because democracy itself is at stake. Not just the future of Ukraine.
And Veronica is so well spoken. We have to take a break, but I think a lot of people who hear the plight and who hear what's going on there, especially the passion and the dedication and commitment that the Ukrainian people have for their country and for saving what they've worked so hard for. I think so many people can appreciate that and understand it. We're going to talk a little bit more to Veronica Didyusenko, former Miss Ukraine, and to Gloria Allred after this break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Yeah, we are back, and Gloria Allred's theme song, The Power, The Passion of Gloria Allred, and she's taking on such a worthy cause with Veronica Didyusenko, former Miss Ukraine, who escaped from Ukraine and is here in Los Angeles. And if you were listening to that ad, please give all that you can to help the people in Ukraine. Veronica, how is your son doing? This must be so hard on him.
You know, for every child, it's extremely difficult at the moment to survive all of the happenings in Ukraine. But the good thing is, like, me and my son was able to escape the war. And, you know, we know that at the moment, 202 children have been killed since the beginning of the war, and 361 children were injured. So these horrifying statistics, like, show us, like all of these, all of the losses we have while the war has been on. And my son is good. He understands that this is a war, and he understands Russia invaded Ukraine. He knows everything which is going on. And in Ukraine, we have, and worldwide, you know, there are many volunteers who are psychologists who are trying to help children to survive this difficult moment, to explain them that Ukraine is defending their freedom, their democracy, their its European values. So we're fighting, and we will win in this war.
Yeah, you know, we wish you all the best in that. Gloria, you know, we talk about children, such a beautiful thing, having a child. Tell us why the Miss World and other competitions are so discriminatory when it comes to children and marriage or whatever. Why are they discriminating against people who have maybe had a child or been married?
Well, and that's a good question, and they're going to have to answer it, because we, on behalf of Andrea Quiroga, who is my client on this issue, we have filed with the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing, because we argue that discriminating against a woman because she has a child is against the law in California. It violates the Unruh Civil Rights Act. So, for example, let's talk about Miss Universe, in addition to Miss World, has a similar rule, Alan. The Miss California USA rule for the Miss Universe beauty pageant states that a contestant, and I'm quoting from their webpage, must never have given birth to a child, cannot be pregnant, or be a parent, end quote.
Wow.
So it's in black and white on the webpage. And then, to emphasize the importance of that rule, Alan, the Miss USA webpage states, quote, here are some final questions to ask yourself. Have I ever given birth to a child? Oh. Am I the legal parent or guardian of anyone? Am I currently pregnant? If you answered no to all of those questions, congrats, you're eligible, end quote. Oh,
my goodness.
Can you believe that?
I can't. In this day and age, to be so derogatory.
Blatant
and
is the, yeah.
Veronica,
dark
go
ages.
Ahead. Yeah, it is in the and to treat women that way, like to answer those questions. Tell us about your experience, Veronica. I mean, obviously, you deserved to be Miss Ukraine, and to be stripped of the title. Did you know that that was going to happen? Did you hide it, or did it some? Is it something that came up after you had already won?
You know, of course, the first time when you hear those archaic rules, they don't have any sense. And it was the same with me. My reaction was like, what a kind of, you know, nonsense these rules are. But my story is a little bit different, because I took part in Miss Ukraine pageant, because at the moment I developed my charity project Young Einsteins. So it's a project to help kids talented in mathematics who are orphans, you know, who comes from the unprivileged backgrounds. And Miss Ukraine was a great platform for me to develop this project, and they promised to sponsor my charity. So that was the reason, and I didn't intend to win, because the best charity project had to be nominated. So you know, it was my kind of interest to participate right. in Miss Ukraine. But then when you know, I won and they disqualified me just because I'm a mother, of course these rules, which are seems to be like out of, you know, dark ages, they cannot exist in 21st century, not in 2022, you know. And I'm so happy and grateful to Gloria Allred for having opportunity to file a lawsuit with Andrea Quiroga against Miss World organization, as well as Miss Universe, because, you know, it's one of the one step forward for the global movement to change the situation with the women's rights throughout the world.
Gloria,
and I think California is going to be the leader.
Tell us about that,
Gloria. Yeah, we want California to be the leader.
Exactly.
California
have you, Gloria.
Oh, thank you.
Tell us, Gloria, how can California be the leader? What are you looking at from a legal perspective in order to turn this around so that it can have a positive impact on all women?
Well, we actually have not started with filing a lawsuit, but we have started with filing with the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing. They decide if they're going to open the investigation, and then they can file the lawsuit. And we think that'll be very powerful. We may take some steps if they don't. And even if they do, we're not going to reveal in advance what they are. But we have, Andrea has filed. She has been interviewed. So we're looking forward to seeing what the department plans to do for their next step. But the idea that Miss World, again, in black and white, states that their Miss World America eligibility rule states that a contestant must, quote, never have given birth, end quote. It just, I think, absolutely violates California law, because no woman can be discriminated against in California because she has given birth. Can you imagine, Alan, an employer asking, have you ever given birth, in order to get a job? That's completely not allowed in California. Well, but it's not allowed for a business opportunity either.
Right, and it's insulting. I mean, it's just crazy. What we're trying to do is put focus on performance, on the intellect, the ability to do something. It is totally irrelevant. And, you know, I really wish that this changes things. I think a lot of people do, because they're...
Well, it's also a violation of privacy rights.
That's
right. A woman should not have to tell anyone if she's ever, you know, been pregnant or given birth. I mean, you can't even be the guardian of a child in the Miss Universe contest. You can't, I mean, you can't have a child. What if you were raped and got pregnant and then had an abortion?
That's right.
You have to say then, yes, I was once pregnant. I'm not anymore. I don't have a child because I had an abortion. You don't have to disclose that to anybody. It's a violation of our constitutional right to privacy in California. So we're going to fight this and fight this hard. So
Verona's
going to continue with her legal fight in Ukraine, and she's going to help us here in the United States as well.
Well, I wish you the best, both of you. Veronica, thank you for coming on today and telling your story. I think it meant a lot to a lot of people who hear this story. There's a lot of people who are supporting you, and hopefully things change for the better very quickly before there's more damage done. And Gloria, as always, thank you for coming on and sharing these important issues with our audience, because, you know, these things you protect those who have been violated. These are violations, and Veronica has experienced, obviously, now with the war, the violations of a country that should never, ever happen in this day and age. So I wish you both the best.
Thank you. And she's so brave, and she's so brave, and she's such a wonderful spokesperson for Ukraine. I'm proud to be associated with Veronica.
Absolutely.
And Alan, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take good care. Be well, both of you. All right, we're going to have to take a quick break. Thanks. We're going to have Sean Robinson coming in on after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on AM 790 KABC. In the rich man's
world. Yeah, we're back. Boy, that was something. Gloria Allred really putting forth some values, passion, and the old protect those who need protection with Veronica Didyusenko, Miss Ukraine, who escaped Ukraine and is now working with Gloria for the betterment of women all over the world. And our next guest has been bettering not only women, but everyone. She is a philanthropist first and foremost, but also known as a very well-loved television host, author, producer, and actress. She hosted Access Hollywood from 1999 to 2015. She is behind the Sean Foundation for Girls, which is very important, an Emmy Award winner. Executive producer of Lifetime's Wrath and Greed. Her books have done great. Her 90 Day Fiancé franchise and the 90 Day franchises have been really well loved. And we are very honored to have with us Sean Robinson. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. You've done so much, and you've given back. Not only have you been someone out there in front of the cameras, but behind the scenes. And you are behind the scenes of these two important Lifetime movies, executive producer for Wrath and Greed. Tell us how you got involved. And I know one, Wrath, it premiered last night, and Greed will be on the 23rd.
That's right. Most people know me, well, one of two places, either Access Hollywood, the 16 years I spent there, or my role on 90 Day Fiancé. Just after so many years in front of the camera, I started looking at, what are the additional chapters that I want to do? What are the boxes that I want to check in the immediate future, and producing, executive producing was definitely one of those. So I optioned a series of books by an author named Victoria Christopher Murray, who was in the process of writing The Seven Deadly Sins. And we know lust, envy, greed, wrath, sloth, gluttony, pride.
Yeah.
And I think I forgot one. But greed.
Envy.
Yes. And so, pitched them to Lifetime and partnered with Bishop T.D. Jakes, which was phenomenal. And then, we did Lust and Envy, brought those to the television screens last year. And now this year, it's the next two in the series, Greed and Wrath. So Wrath aired last night on Lifetime, and Greed will air this coming Saturday at 8 p.m. on Lifetime, 7 Central, but you also have to check your local listings because sometimes, depending on your television carrier, the times might fluctuate. But, these are morality tales, and they are fitting for the audience that we are presenting them to that want, you know, a lesson in the movie. Yes, the wages of sin are death, but there is redemption. So we're talking about, you know, what is that redemption and how do you find that redemption? So, yeah, we had a great cast.
Michelle Williams in Wrath is really something. One of my favorites. And she actually played a lawyer. This is a legal show, so that's a great connection, Chastity Jeffries.
Yes.
And that's going to re-air on April 23rd. So if anyone missed it, they can watch it. Tell us how, because you talk about values in that film, Wrath, there's so much passion and values involved that I think everyone can identify with.
Yeah, you know, so in Wrath, Chastity, who Michelle Williams plays, is in a relationship with Xavier, played by the amazing Antonio Cupo. And she sees those red flags of his anger, his jealousy, his suspicion and controlling nature, and she's ignoring them. And so, you know, she doesn't think of herself as a woman who could be fooled, but she is definitely missing those signs, and his wrath grows greater and greater, and Chastity has to figure out how she's going to handle this and also handle her relationship with her parents, especially her father, and there are some issues there that get examined in the movie. So It's definitely a very, you know, interesting story, and it's exciting. It's like a sexy thriller, twists and turns, just like Greed that's coming up this Saturday. So, yeah, a lot of twists and turns, and so yeah, Chastity has to learn how to navigate those.
Sean, isn't it true, though, that these are common issues that maybe you've seen either through 90 Day Fiancé or just through your work on Access Hollywood, just through life? These are not extraordinary people who don't have or having problems that are not the same as just a lot of people have.
Well, yeah, and that's why the seven deadly sins are so popular. I mean, think about it. You know, somebody was asking me, what's the lesson? Well, you know, lust. You know, what happens when you become lustful, lust after something that is not good for you? What happens when you're envious of people? How can that turn against you? What happens when your greed takes control, or your temper, your wrath? The same with pride and gluttony and sloth. These are things that people come in contact with one of these probably on a regular basis. And that's why I was so interested in optioning this series of books, because I knew they would make fantastic movies, because the tales are very relatable and the lessons are relatable. So I think the audience, and judging from how the audience was so excited about Wrath, you know, I think they will find those same beneficial lessons when Greed airs.
Are they going to air over time with Lifetime, Wrath and Greed, or do you have others coming out in the series?
Well, so, you know, we plan on doing all seven movies. And so, you know, we've done, like I said, we did two of them last year and then two this year. And so we're kind of rolling them out that way. So, but what happened last night was that you got to see Lust and Envy, the movies that aired last year right before the premiere of Wrath. So you have to check your local listings and see how the shows are playing.
And it's on Lifetime, so don't miss it. People,
Lifetime,
yeah,
yes.
People love them. I want to ask you quickly before we let you go, the Sean Foundation for Girls, STEM Health Arts Unity Neighborhoods. And does that come from the book you wrote, Exactly As I Am, Celebrated Women Share Candid Advice with Today's Girls on What It Takes to Believe in Yourself?
Well, you know, thank you so much. And my passion is, my parents always taught me, if God gives you a platform, use it to give back.
Right.
And so I created my foundation, the Sean Foundation for Girls, to help underserved and underrepresented girls around the country in these five key areas that are represented by the acronym of my name, as you said, SHAUN, STEM, Health, Arts, Unity, and Neighborhoods. And, excuse me, what we have done is we provide grants, funding for small nonprofits around the country that are really the boots on the ground, those organizations that are working directly with girls to help them in these areas. Because what it's about is helping to level the playing field for our girls and giving them a chance to succeed in life, giving them the opportunity to have the education and the tools that they need to really be competitive. And so that's what we focus on. You know, we shine a light on those nonprofits that are really doing that great work. So you can find out more about what we do. And if you'd like to support our mission, you could always go to the SeanFoundationForGirls.org and, you know, see what we're all about.
It's so important. And I'm glad you're using your platform for something so important for girls and for confidence and for values. Everything that is the future of our country, Sean Robinson is doing through the Sean Foundation for Girls. And last question for you, Sean, the 90-day franchise, anything yeah. going on with that? Because people, you know, that's been so popular.
Yeah.
We want to hear. Well, give us the scoop. It's like Access Hollywood. Give us the scoop, Sean.
Well, you know, okay, at 90 Day Fiancé is seen in 168 countries and territories. It's got 10 spinoffs or 10 or plus spinoffs. And so it is a wild ride. I got to tell you, that's on TLC. And if you start watching 90 Day Fiancé, you will definitely get sucked in. It's based on the K-1 visa program of the United States. If you go overseas, like Italy, Spain, Russia, anywhere, and meet the love of your life and you want to bring them back to the States, you have to apply for what's called a K-1 visa. And once that your significant other steps foot in on American soil, you have 90 days in which you have to get married. So you can imagine all the drama that takes place in that situation. So, yeah, 90 Day Fiancé. Once you get in, it's hard to get out. So
that's right.
And so, yes.
It's a great example of how life and law intercede, just what our show is about, because,
yes.
you know, there's a lot of life there and then maybe a little bit of law if that's going to proceed the way that some of the 90 Day Fiancés do. It's something that I think a lot of people, like you say, get obsessed with, get sucked in and just want to watch. So many yes. wonderful things that you're doing. Anything in the future that we should look forward to other than, of course, Wrath, Greed, and Sean Foundation for Girls and 90 Day Fiancé?
Well, that's a lot on my plate. So if you check those out, I will be happy.
There, I love that answer. That is the best answer. A lot on my plate. Check them out and she'll be happy. Sean Robinson, we want to thank you so much for being with us on Gervie's Law today. Take good care and
thank
we'll be
you.
Watching Lifetime and TLC.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, Sean. All right. That's Sean Robinson. I'm Alan Gervey. We have one more segment after the break. You're listening to Gervey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. You know, Wayman, I'm not so sure I'm having such a good time. It's a great song, but, you know, here I am. I'm by myself. Easter Sunday. It's not often that I'm by myself with no one to talk to. I've had guests for the last, you know, 9 years, pretty much filling up every single moment of my show, Gervie's Law. And now, for the last 10 minutes here, I don't have a guest. I don't have a co-host. There's no one here in the studio. I'm by myself. Oh, come on, Wayman. You and I, we go way back. You don't count. You're part of me. There's no other person here to talk to, so I got to talk to myself. I'm just going to think maybe stream of consciousness now. When I studied philosophy at Brown University back in the day, I used to do a lot of stream of consciousness writing. Sometimes it's kind of fun to just sit there and say whatever's on your mind. Think whatever's on your mind, extrapolate on it, and maybe talk about it. So before I was coming into the studio today, I had just finished a baseball practice with my son Hudson, and only 5 kids showed up. I guess you don't have practices on Easter Sunday unless the head coach is Jewish, which he is. So they had the 3 Jewish kids and then a couple of kids who I guess had no other plans. So we finished the practice. I came in, and before I came in, I was watching KCBS here in Los Angeles, and I watched Jim Hill, and he was interviewing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Oh, my goodness. I'm about to do a show. We have Gloria Allred, Veronica Didyusenko, Miss Ukraine, and then, of course, the fabulous Sean Robinson. And I'm watching Jim Hill interviewing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And all I can think of is, what a jerk. What a jerk. And why would I say that? And I know people who have listened to me before talk about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar say, Alan, get over it. Enough already, Alan. Okay, so what? He was supposed to be on your show last year, and an hour before the show, he canceled without any reason. So what? He was supposed to be on your show this year, 2-3 months ago. And once again, good old Kareem Abdul-Jabbar canceled a couple hours before the show without even thinking about giving an excuse. He just said he wasn't going to do the show. So, Alan, get over it. He canceled twice. Big deal. He canceled on the day of the show after I had done my stellar work to prepare for the show, putting my kids to sleep and then staying up for 2 or 3 hours into the wee hours to read everything you want to know about Kareem and to watch all kinds of old videos. So what that I did that? And then he canceled and then I had to wing it on the show. So Jim Hill is interviewing him and he's talking about values and having a positive effect. And it harkens me to a lot of the things that he has written. Kareem has written lately. They go viral all the time. He wrote on Aaron Rodgers, on what kind of idiot Aaron Rodgers is, which he is, because he didn't say he was vaccinated, that he was immunized. And then it comes out that, you know, he wasn't vaccinated and kind of tricked people. And then he wrote on Will Smith and talked about what kind of idiot Will Smith is, how dare he, and how it's affected so many people, including the black community, and how the heck, and I'm not going to use the choice words that Will Smith used, when he sat in his chair screaming up at the Chris Rock using some nice 4-letter words. I'm not going to use those words. But, of course, Kareem had something to say about it. Weekly, Kareem has an article come out about how people are bad. And I'll agree with Kareem. People are bad. But so are you, Kareem. So are you. He dared to say to Jim Hill, a day after his 75th birthday, yes, Kareem turned 75 yesterday, so he was being interviewed a day after his 75th birthday, and of course, his holier-than-thou attitude came out, Mr. Good Guy. He said to Jim Hill that the most important thing in his life, most important thing that he wants to convey in all his writings and all his talk is, and I quote, treat others as you would like to be treated. Treat others as you would like to be treated. No one knows. No one knows what kind of person this guy is, at least as it relates to the Gervie's Law franchise. the Gervie's Law show, people don't realize because they just don't know. Yes, Kareem is into social justice and they're doing all kinds of awards based on his social justice perspectives. But why in the heck, if he wants people to treat others as he would like to be treated, why does he cancel without even apologizing, without even telling me why, without even thinking that I sacrificed time with my kids and my wife because I wanted to be prepared for his interview? Yet, he just cancels. I know, Alan, get over it. But I want to say something about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He represents what's really bad in this world. He represents everything that's so bad in the world. When he wrote the article about Will Smith, I actually read through about 100 comments saying how wonderful he is. Oh, you hit the nail right on the head, Kareem, with your article. You really got it. You really did. People are bad, Kareem, and thank you for pointing it out. But did he say in his article, by the way, I'm one of those people? I'm one of those people who does not respect others, does not give others the respect that they deserve because they're not being treated as he wants to be treated. Well, I'll tell you something. My mother taught me the right way. If you have a commitment, and my father as well, if you have a commitment, you follow through with it unless you have a reason not to. Being a good person and respecting everyone regardless of, yes, I'm not Jim Hill. No question about it. I am not Jim Hill. But I'm a human being. I deserve respect. My father treated everyone with the same respect, regardless of whether they were a homeless person or someone that he met at the Brown University graduation when he stood at the urinals beside William Sapphire and the diplomat for Switzerland. And they said, what do you do? As they were both bragging about their positions in the world. And my dad, without missing a beat, said, oh, I have a number of pharmacies in Canada, which was true, but they were all small, little, tiny things that his brothers and he had. The fact of the matter is, I'm getting off a little bit here, he respected everyone. And if everyone would treat people right, if everyone would consider other people's feelings and not just get on their high horse and tell everyone how bad the other person is, how bad Will Smith is, how bad Aaron Rodgers is, and I'm sure Kareem has put down a number of other people for not being the stellar, valued human beings that he says he is. If everyone considered everyone else's feelings, everyone's emotions, and did the right thing, maybe this world would be a better place. Maybe this world would be a much better place if people treated people with respect and thought of the other people's feelings and did the right thing. Have a great week this week. I'm Alan Gervie. Do the right thing. We'll see you next week.